How's my sound in the back? How is it if I do the Dharma teacher guided meditation thing where I let the end of my sentence trail off? Is it still okay or not great? Okay. I won't do that. Okay, that sounds good. So today is Tuesday. We've been here for 3 weeks. Or maybe just 3 days. This is the timeless nature of the Dhamma. When we're in practice, often there's a sense of timelessness. And these teachings are also timeless, passed down through thousands of years. And here we are, right here and now, practicing, applying, as Tanisra said, the medicine of the Dharma in each moment. And so the fruit of your practice of having been here for 2.5 days might be settling, might be calming, might be peace, you might have a sense of clarity. There also might be a different type of fruit. So there might be aversion. There might be wanting to be somewhere else, wanting something else to happen. There might be a sense of anxiety. As Gulu mentioned, these aspects of ourselves that often in the momentum of our life, we aren't able to attend to in the way that we do here on retreat. And so then we open up space and there's silence and there's nothing to read other than the chanting booklet. And what might arise is one of the hindrances. And the teaching of the Buddha is that this is also the fruit of the practice, that actually the hindrance, the obstacle, what feels difficult is the path. And so last night, Tanisra spoke about peace. It's a very, very powerful talk for me and probably for many of us. And Ajahn Chah said there are two kinds of peace. There's the peace of shamatha, which means calm abiding. Regulating with the body, with the breath, with the rhythm of walking, with slowing down, with removing the distractions, so that we can really be with what's here. So this settling, calming, or what's sometimes called samadhi. Sam means together. Di means to hold or to support. So the sense that we're gathering our experience, we're gathering the splinters of ourself, the many selves, as have been talked about, within the space or the womb of awareness, to be known, to be heard, to be felt, to be understood. And so that's the first kind of peace. This is often the kind of peace that we crave. And might be what we expect when we come on retreat. But Ajahn Chah also spoke about another kind of peace. And this is the peace of wisdom. Of punya is the Pali word, or prajna, prajna in Sanskrit. Tanisra defined that last night as this intuitive knowing. This knowing before knowing. This knowing before the thought. That's embodied, that's connected. And so we can use the peace, the stability of samadhi to turn towards, to look into with wisdom, the nature of what's arising, the nature, what is the nature of what is here for us in this moment. And so this is the territory of the Noble Truths, of dukkha. Dukkha has many meanings, many translations. My favorite is a feeling of being apart from the whole. Dukkha, the whole akasha, the sense of being separated from ease, from peace, from wholeness, from awakening. And the Buddha's teaching was to understand dukkha. And so this is the territory of mindfulness, of sati, to turn towards what is arising, to turn towards dhamma or dharma with a lowercase d, meaning nature, to look into the nature of what is here with mindfulness, with energy. So the Buddha used the Pali word atapi, or translated as being ardent. So without striving, without pushing, but at the same time being curious, turning towards, clearly comprehending and mindful. So this is the fourth area of the Satipatthana Sutta, mindfulness of Dhamma. And we can be curious about the nature of the hindrances. So these five energies, sometimes described as spells, I've heard them described as spells. But these human tendencies that the Buddha was clear are our nature. It's a very compassionate teaching because it often feels very, very personal. When aversion arises, irritation arises, jealousy arises, a feeling of doubt, what about my life? How do I make a decision? It feels so unique to us. You know, we can feel alone in that. And so this pointing out of this whole territory is so powerful, so helpful. So that we can be skillful and we don't have to be afraid of the energy. We don't have to reject the energy. We don't have to just quickly move back to the breath, push away. Sometimes that's skillful. Come back to the breath, settle, calm, if the energy is too much. But if there is the settledness, if there is the capacity, we can start to be curious. How is it now? Or what is happening now? What is arising in this moment? And so the encouragement of the Satipatthana Sutta is to gather the first foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of body and breath. Second foundation is the whole territory of feeling tone. So the sense of, sometimes described as a valence, Vedana, this whole sense of a tone to the moment. That might be sensation, might include emotion or mood. For me, it's very much includes impulse, like this sense of going toward or away. And so the encouragement is to recognize, to look into. This is what's called vipassana. Pas means to see, to look, or like the listening, the sense of listening into the nature. And so there's an invitation to being mindful of Dhamma. That's what I love about this practice. It's not that you should do it. It's not how quick can you do it. Get yourself back. But that there's an invitation out of samsara, out of this endless looping of the mind, to wake up, to know how it is now, to contact directly our experience with awareness. So every day we have chanted the qualities of the Triple Jewel, Itipiso, Bhagava, Arahang. And in the qualities of the Dhamma, there's Sanditiko, which means it is always here and now. Whatever is arising, that's the path. So you're feeling, if you feel, or speak for myself, often a feeling of not enough, didn't do enough, don't know enough, can't quite get it right. That's Dhamma. That's the practice. That's actually the essence of wisdom when we apply the Dhamma. And ahipasiko, always inviting, pas, to look into. There's always an invitation. Whatever is here is workable. And so we can receive that invitation for the mind to be with the body, to align with Vedana. So what is this tone? To be curious about the way that the mind might be personalizing what's arising. And that the Dhamma is opanayiko, leading inward. So it leads us inward to the source, to our true nature. We can see that these hindrances are what Ajahn Suchito calls hooks in the heart. Things that pull us out of our nature, out of that clarity. The Pali word is nirvarana, which sounds like nirvana, but isn't quite the same. And so these five territories were named last night, and I want to open a little bit more into these areas. So the first one is sense desire. So this sense of wanting something to appease the senses that always points us away from what we actually have now, the abundance of the moment. And we're here on the land, we're really open to the sights and the sounds, to the perfection of, or perfection and perfect imperfection of the container, the care of the staff, the food, the teachings, the chanting. We're being offered so much. And yet often the mind goes towards what isn't here. What else do I need to feel complete, to have that sense of wholeness? So there's a constant movement into the next thing. And so we can be curious again. We notice the mind is always going out somewhere else, somewhere else. How is it to come back to the body? Just to notice that feeling tone, that sense. For me, I'm often leaning, physically leaning into something or tensing the body as if I can hold on to something. And that moment when even slightly we recognize the abundance and we recognize the suffering in that grasping, there can be a relief. There can be a softening. There can be an opening into all that we're being given, our deep inherent belonging into this web of life. For each of the hindrances, the Buddha gave an analogy related to water that I find really helpful. So the Buddha described sense desire as like water that has dye in it. It has been colored. And so you can't see your reflection. Can't actually have that mirror back to our true nature. And the second hindrance is aversion. Many different flavors, irritation or being sort of facetious or this kind of pushing away energy, critical energy, often is turned inward towards oneself. And again, the Buddha gave an image of boiling water. this heat, this energy of anger, as Tanisar described it last night. And again, when we're caught in that, it's difficult to see our reflection, to notice how this is affecting ourselves and possibly affecting others around us. Sometimes on retreat, day two or three is my aversion day. Just as kind of like I'm just averse to everything. Other people's socks or the dining hall, the tea line. And then, you know, I'll go through half the day. It's like, this is such a frustrating group of people. Why is everyone, you know, always in my way? And then suddenly it's like, this is your aversion day. Sometimes I just need rest. Sometimes I just need a little bit more kindness towards myself. Like, this is actually quite hard to do this thing. This is not our normal way of living. It's quite a shock sometimes for our system. So that might be natural to push away, to try to kind of create a boundary. So when we recognize that energy in the body, that feeling tone, we can soften. We might apply metta towards ourselves. It might be possible to have metta for another as well. Give yourself some space. Go for a walk. And the third hindrance is sloth or torpor, which is kind of interesting language, but this is like dullness. Sleepiness. The Buddha described this as like water that has algae growing on it. So again, we can't see into it. And so sometimes we work with this energy by opening our eyes, by even standing. You can stand and you're in the back of the hall, or if you're already in the back, you could stand. That can be good for the energy body. Deepening the in-breath, bringing in a little bit more energy. But also it can be interesting, again, if there's a capacity to get curious. So how is this in the body? This kind of feeling of dropping, this is how it is for me. Or the kind of rocking back and forth that sometimes we see in the hall when someone is in this kind of sleepiness. How is it in the mind? This kind of sinking mind. Can really get curious about that, be mindful of it. Because sometimes the dullness is again like that algae, it's like a layer over something else, some other kind of energy. I notice this for myself when I'm around certain people in my life that are difficult for me to be myself, I'll feel really tired, just feel sleepy, because there's actually something else there, something underneath that. Some grief or some difficulty. And so if we can be tender, we say, what is this? Not blame ourselves. It's not wrong to be sleepy. It's natural. This is nature. This is Dhamma. And the fourth hindrance is restlessness. So this feeling of we can't quite settle, we can't quite land. I've definitely had my restlessness retreat. The retreat teachers that week just told me, don't even go into the hall. You're too restless. Just walk and notice the pleasant. So sometimes this energy can be really big, can really overtake us. And again, if that's the case, sometimes that's energy of trauma. That's energy of our system not feeling safe. Then we might look out the window. We might go for a walk and notice pleasant sight and sensation that can help to balance the nervous system. We might deepen our breath, walk a little more quickly so the body has more rhythm. We might hold mantra of Buddho. Buddho means awake. Or I like to hold Namo Kwanchari Yimpusa. Just touching that energy with a thought, with something that gathers, directs, grounds, stabilizes the mind and the heart. We can just be patient as well, knowing that this is Dhamma. And its nature for all of the hindrances is to arise and then to change. And eventually it will pass. It will turn to something else. Doubt is the last of the hindrances. And this one can be so difficult. So I didn't say, but the water metaphor for restlessness is like water that's whipped up by wind. And this might make sense. And so that last of the hindrances is doubt. This is like muddy water. And the thing about doubt is that it leads us towards more thinking. So it's sort of seductive in that way. It's like, well, I'll just think it through. If I can just figure it out cognitively with the mind. And we're often rewarded for this in our outer life. So this might be a very strong sankhara, very strong pattern for each of us, for any of us. But there can be this moment where in the body, we feel this like going back and forth and back and forth. Sometimes it gets really combined with anxiety because we're trying to figure this and then go over here. And what about that? Maybe this person knows. And it pulls us out of the practice. Again, we are looking away. What's the answer? And so again, feeling the somatic, the energy in the body. Noticing, where is this leading me? This has been so helpful for me. The image that the Buddha gave is the ox chasing its own tail. Just it keeps going around and around and around, but it'll never get there. So is there an endless nature to this thinking? Oh, then this is doubt. How is it to feel it, to breathe with it, to let go of the thought form, the belief, the projection, and to trust in refuge? We have this container. We have this time. What a blessing. To just feel the foot on the ground as you walk, to return to this breath, to trust in the practice itself, in this path. And so, as I've said, we can go to the body, we can notice the feeling tone, we can apply an antidote, this can be helpful. For me, the most helpful thing is to be curious, to name what it is, and then be curious about how it's arising. Sometimes mindfulness is enough. We just touch it. Oh, doubt. Oh, aversion. Mindfulness is called the flood stopper. So sometimes that just touching the energy is enough to stop the flood of thinking. But sometimes it can take days. Years, lifetimes. These energies just keep coming up again and again and again. And we know them over and over and over again with patience, with kindness, with compassion, because this is nature. This is how it is to be human. And so Ajahn Chah said, don't be in a hurry to get rid of the hindrance. Read the book of your heart. So let's go into a period of sitting. We're going to sit together for 25 or 30 minutes. And as you adjust, as you settle, you might nourish your body with some longer, deeper breaths. In this meditation, I'll be giving just some light instruction. So I won't be speaking for the whole time. There will be silence, opportunity to work with the teachings in your own way. Might begin again with an anchor. So this might be sound, might be gathering the mind to the rhythm of breathing. You might be noticing sensation as it arises in the body. So we don't have to dive in. We can begin with this settling, calming samadhi. Just feeling the ground beneath you. Allowing that ground to support softening, relaxation. And if there is thinking, we can offer the mind an invitational question, a short thought. How is it now? Or what is happening now? Maybe you have your own question. And like the ringing of the bell, the mind is invited to receive the moment, the slower rhythm of the body, the feeling tone, the emotion, the belief. So there's a receptivity, like fingers holding a cloth, feeling into the texture, the landscape of your internal experience. That question can be infused with kindness, with compassion. How is it now? As we investigate our experience, we don't have to go looking for the hindrance. So if your experience is peaceful, quiet, calm, notice that. This is the body-mind unaffected by the hindrances. But if there is something coming up, we might just be touching the edges of it, feeling it in the body. If it feels overwhelming, we can open the eyes, look out the window, steady the breath. Or if it's okay to be with it, we might feel the feeling tone. We can frame this territory very simply. Is it unpleasant? Is it pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral experience? I notice the thought forms, the beliefs, the sense of a self. And again, touching with mindfulness, with awareness, breathing with. Notice that whatever is arising also has the nature to pass, to move through, if we don't grasp it, if we don't pick it up, if we don't feed it. There's no problem with the hindrance. Just our reactivity, the proliferation that occurs as the hindrance arises. So applying the medicine of the Dharma, wisdom, insight, stabilizing, calming. And if it really feels bigger than bigger than what we can hold, we can place it on the altar. Offer it to the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, to those awakened beings that guide us on this path. the last 5 minutes of the sitting, you might have a feeling of beginning again, refreshing our awareness, attuning to the rhythm of the breath and the body, receiving the invitation of the moment. What's arising now? And in the words of the Buddha, Magga Hatha Kilesawa Pati Upati Dhammatang, path activity, the practice itself, mindfulness, heartfulness, embodied awareness, the medicine of wisdom, of Dhamma, breaks up, hatha, breaks up the obstructions, illuminates. And the fruit of the practice arises according to the Dhamma. So we're transitioning into another way of knowing, which is announcements. So there was a couple of notes about folks that have meetings that had signed up to ring the bell. And so we need a couple of volunteers to ring the bell, the outside bell, at 10:35. Great, Nat. And then also to ring, we also need someone, this is the outside bell, to ring the outside bell at 11:50. Could we have a volunteer? Great, Sarah. Thank you. And so if you wrote the note, you're taken care of. We will be testing everyone, or the retreat managers will be testing everyone for COVID tomorrow morning. This is a standard procedure on day 4 of retreats of this length. So there'll be more instructions on that tomorrow. You don't have to worry about that today. And then we'll post they will post the results in the afternoon. Today is Tuesday, and we have interview meetings. If you did not have a meeting yesterday and your name is not on the list today, please raise your hand. Okay, 2 people. So then what do they do?
Jesse, what's your name?
Paul. And then the back. Could you raise your hand in the back? Thank you. My friend in the back, what's your name that didn't have a meeting? Andrew. Okay. And again, today we'll have 2 movement sessions. So as we did yesterday, 1 upstairs, 1 downstairs. So again, if your last name starts with A through K, you're upstairs, and everyone else is downstairs. And Adam and I will switch. So I'll be downstairs, Adam will be upstairs. So you have an opportunity to work with both of us. And we should be all set for the props upstairs and downstairs. So you shouldn't really have to worry about carting things up and down. And then finally, there's no Q&A today at 5 o'clock. We'll just have a silent sitting. So if you have a question and you have an interview group today, bring that to the group. Or if there's really something that you really need to have resolved and you don't have an interview group, you can write us a note. So the 3 people that didn't have an interview group, we're going to get you signed up for one of the groups that starts at 11:30. So please, before 11:30, but after the next half hour or so, check the board so we have time to get you into a group. Okay? Enjoy your day, everyone.